Amen. It's a wonderful blessing to be with you this morning. I appreciate the blessing from the Lord and the invitation to be here. The privilege to speak to you this morning. Brother Chris asked me earlier in the week if I would come and preach. We normally go over to Hebron, where Dana's parents are members, and Brother Chris don't know that he almost got me disowned from the family this week. Enjoyed very much the words that have gone before and the good humble prayer. Trust that you continue to pray. Brother Chris told me not to worry about the time. So I take my watch off. I'm reminded of the little boy who came to church one time with his friend, and his friend never had been to church before, and he got there, and they were singing, and the preacher came up to the stand, and friend asked the little boy, says, "Why is he going up there?" And the little boy said, "Well, it's just easier for the congregation to see and hear." And he said, "Okay." And he opened his Bible and said, "What's he doing now?" And the little boy said, "Well, that's where he preaches from. He preaches from his Bible." And the preacher took his watch out and set it to the side, and his friend said, "What's he doing now?" He said, "Oh, he's just taking off his watch. That don't mean nothing." I'd like to turn with you, call your attention to a story found in Mark chapter 2. My mind had been on a particular subject and passage of Scripture this week, and just as late as last night and this morning, thoughts have seemed to shift around a little bit, so I trust you will pray that the Lord be glorified in the remarks we try to make very quickly this morning. Mark chapter 2, if you'll allow me just to read the first 12 verses very, very quickly, and we'll go back and try to make some remarks about this wonderful story in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 1 says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, 'Son, thy sins be forgiven thee.' But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoned in their hearts, 'Why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?' And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, 'Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he rose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion." We're all very familiar with this story of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, about this man who these friends or family, we don't know, brought him to the Lord and couldn't get him there. And so they tore up the roof and let him down where the Lord was. I couldn't help but to think when I read that, we had a big get together at the house last year sometime and had, I don't know, 30 or 40 folks over, and folks from all the churches in our area. And there was a lot of folks coming in and out and going to the restroom and going to the living room and going to the bathroom. And it was a bumper car station in the living room. And we had just had our roof redone. And I thought about this verse, you know, I hope it don't get so crowded in our house that somebody starts unpeeling the roof to get in the house. But you know, it says that he entered again into Capernaum after some days. And it was noised that he was in the house. You know, Jesus, and the next verse says, and straightway many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. You know, every time the Lord Jesus Christ went somewhere to a village or to a house, it didn't take very long, but what for the word spread that this is the Lord, this is Jesus, and He's come into our village. And people would come out of the woodwork. And so they had a problem. They had a problem that they didn't have enough room in the house to fit them all. That'd be a good problem to have, wouldn't it, brother? That folks would find out that Jesus was near and in the house. I don't want to be disrespectful or irreverent at all, but I couldn't help but to think as I was reading this that, you know, for a long time you would hear people after Elvis was dead and gone, even maybe before, that when Elvis would enter the building, you know what they would say, Elvis has entered the building. It's a wonderful blessing to know that there was better than Elvis in the building this day, and that he had entered the house. I remember, and folks would get shouting happy that Elvis was in the building. Where's Elvis? I remember when I was a teenager watching some late night television. I probably had no business watching at the time, but there was a television host on there that, you know, when he would announce who was going to be on his show that night, he was saying, so-and-so is in the house. And people would just go wild and they go crazy and scream. Would to God that we could be as excited as those folks were to know that Jesus is in the house. He was in the house this day, I tell you. Better than Elvis or anybody else was in the house on this day. And immediately, straightway, many were gathered together in so much that there was no room to receive them. I remember my daddy telling me about times when there would be big meetings, big associational meetings in the summertime, and old Primitive Baptist meeting house sitting out in the middle of the country in the middle of nowhere would be packed full. There would be no room for anybody in the house. And people would be standing lined up outside the windows for the chance to hear the gospel preached. Would to God that we could be today in our Christian walk that dedicated to hearing the Lord preached. And you know why He came? It says that He came and preached the word unto them. You know, the Lord, we often think about, that slapped me in the face when I read that this. We often think about the Lord Jesus Christ going from village to village for the purpose of healing the sick and making the eyes, making the blind to see and raising the lame to walk. And He did all of those things. Blessed be His name. He did all of those things. But the Bible never says that I can read where He went to those places to do those things. You know what the Lord Jesus, in fact, if you back up over in the other column in the previous chapter, 38th verse of the first chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to His disciples and He says unto them, let us go to the next towns that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. You know why the Lord Jesus Christ came and spent the ministry that He did upon this earth? It was to preach the gospel. He came to feed folks, His people, the gospel, the same thing that we come for this morning. He came to preach the gospel and to feed them with His word. I dare say that's what we need this morning, is it not? We need to be fed the gospel and preach the gospel and be strengthened by the gospel and be taught the word of God that we might glorify the Lord in our lives that we live. And it says that while He was preaching the gospel, that they came unto Him bringing one sick of the palsy that was born of four. In other words, he was carried by four other men. Palsy was a dreaded disease. It was a condition that resulted in paralysis. He was paralyzed, in other words. The man couldn't move. And you know, there's a lot of things that causes paralysis. Sometimes it's a birth condition. Sometimes it's a disease or a certain bacteria that can develop into paralysis. Sometimes it's an accident or a fall. I knew a man growing up in Warner Robins who out with a good time with the boys one night, he jumped off of a bridge into some shallow water and he never walked again. He was lucky to live. A lot of things can cause paralysis. We don't know what caused it. We don't know how to the extent of this man's condition. Sometimes paralysis is only from the hips down, or sometimes it can be from the neck down, or sometimes it can be on one side. We don't know what the cause was, or we don't know to what extent this man's condition was. We just know that he had palsy. And don't you know this morning that there are a lot of things in life that can cause a palsy in a spiritual way in the life of God's people? There are a lot of things, a lot of different conditions that can cause an emotional or a spiritual paralysis. I talk to a lot of people sometimes who are gripped with fear in life. You know, fear can be a debilitating thing. Fear can cause a paralysis of the mind. Anxiety. I know some very close people in my life that suffer from anxiety on a day-to-day basis. And I tell you, anxiety and fear and worry can be a debilitating thing to go through in life. How many of us, not by show of hands, I asked one time in a congregation at home, I'll never make this mistake again. I was talking about the importance of the church and how wonderful the church was in our lives and how we just can't get more of church. And I said, how many of you this morning have gotten too much church? This little 4-year-old in the back row said, me. I'm not asking for a show of hands this morning, but how many of us in our experience in this life have been gripped by the trials and the tribulations and the fears and the worries and the discouragements and the disappointments of day-to-day life? I tell you, those things left to themselves can cause a paralysis in our walk with the Lord. They will leave us in a condition of spiritual palsy, if you will, in our walk with the Lord. Well, I want you to know that this man, either he knew or the folks that brought him knew of a place where he could get help. The Scripture never says anything in the early part of this story about where this man said anything or did anything. He was paralyzed. I don't know how the extent of his condition. He never said anything until the end of it. But we do read about 4 individuals that brought him to the Lord. They knew of a place where this man could get help. And they brought him. They bore him on a cot, on a couch, one scripture says, to the place where this man could get help. Now I want you to know this morning that you and I have the privilege to bear one another to the Lord at the throne of grace. We have the privilege to bear. You ever been through experiences in life where you felt so unworthy or so debilitated or so far away from the Lord that you didn't even feel the energy or the unction to pray? Isn't it wonderful to know that when we're going through times like that, that there are others who are willing to bear us to the Lord? I always think about that scripture where it says that the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Aren't you glad for that promise in your life? Aren't you glad for the faithfulness of God, of that promise The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth more. Well, these folks were determined to get their buddy or their loved one to the Lord. And I want you to know, look down. Let's just keep going. It says he was born of four. They carried him in on a cot. And when they could not come nigh unto him, I want you to picture it in your mind for the press. There were folks outside and folks on the porch and folks filling that room and that house where the Lord was. And they couldn't even get in the door because of all the multitude of people. And when they couldn't get in the door to get to the Lord, they hoisted that brother up on the roof. And they began to unpeel the roof. One place says that they began to unpeel the tiles of the roof. They were determined to get that man to the Lord. I wonder what our lives would be like if we were that determined to get to the Lord when we need Him. If we were that determined for our brothers and sisters to get help from the Lord. I wonder what the difference that it would make to us in our lives. And not only the difference that it would make, but the difference that it does make when we are that determined. You know, sometimes life can throw softballs that we have no other resource but to go to the Lord from whom our help comes. I tell you, if we were this dedicated all the time, I know my life would be a lot different. If we were this dedicated and this resolved and this, we're going to get this brother to the Lord no matter what. Notice what the Lord Jesus, notice what happened when Jesus saw them. When they pulled this roof apart and they let down this brother on this cot. Verse 5 says, I read over this verse, I don't know how many times before I saw this pronoun. When Jesus saw their faith. Doesn't say when Jesus saw His faith. It says when Jesus saw their faith. This man hadn't said a word. By the way, this man doesn't need life, does he? That's an important distinction to make in this lesson. This man doesn't need life. He's not a dead man. He's a crippled man. He's not one that needs by the way, there are only three conditions or three times that we read that the Lord Jesus Christ raised anybody from the dead. And on all three of those occasions where Jesus raised someone from the dead, He went personally. He spoke directly to the dead. And number three, He didn't give an opportunity or a chance. He spoke directly and His words were effective every time. This man's not dead. He doesn't need life. He needs to walk again. He needs to be made whole again. He needs life more abundantly. Would you agree with that this morning? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The Lord didn't just come to give His people life. Bless His name. He came to give us life more abundantly. I believe we can enjoy that life more abundantly right here in His house. Don't you? And in our walk with Him, in our closeness with Him, this man didn't need life. He needed to be made whole. He needed to be healed. Just the same condition that all of us have on a daily basis to some extent or another. When Jesus saw their faith, He said unto the sick of the palsy, Son. Well, that'd be a wonderful word just to dwell on for a little while. He didn't say, boy. He didn't say, what? He called that man son. I imagine once that man figured out who the Lord Jesus Christ was, that was the most blessed word that the Lord could ever speak to him. Son. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now that's not what they came for. They didn't bring that man to Jesus to have his sins forgiven. That wasn't the purpose of their trip. Their purpose of their trip was to get that man healed because they knew that Jesus could do it. But Jesus speaks words that are far greater than be healed. He says, Son. Matthew's account of this, the Lord says, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. That's the most blessed words that a child of God can hear in his soul. Be of good. And I tell you this, whenever we go to the Lord with a need, no matter how great that need is, or no matter what condition it is, more than the need that we have that needs to be met, isn't it a wonderful blessing that the Lord can speak to our souls and an experience of a communion with Him give us the affirmation that we are His and that our sins are forgiven? No matter what our need is, no matter what our need, and there, I imagine if I passed out sometimes, sometimes in the classroom, I pass out whiteboards and I have them write down whatever, you know, I ask them a question and say, hold up your board. I imagine if we had a piece of paper and we wrote, write your need down, this, whatever it is that's crippling or that's threatening to cripple your lives and maybe the lives of your family. I guess we would have a multitude of answers to that question. But I want you to know that the Lord knows them, every one, and He is able. But what a wonderful blessing to get the affirmation, before your needs are met, your sins be forgiven thee. And I love the next few verses. I'll just kind of mention briefly when he said that, there was a group of Pharisees and scribes over there. The Bible says they reasoned in their hearts that this man speaks blasphemies. All three accounts in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, these Pharisees don't speak a word audibly. All three accounts, it says they reason within themselves. And when they reason within themselves that this man speaks blasphemies, who can forgive sins but God alone? Well, they had that right, didn't they? Who can forgive sins but God alone? This man speaks blasphemies. They hadn't said a word out loud. But immediately Jesus takes his attention off of this man with palsy, and he looks over there at them and he says, why reason you within your hearts these things? You know, the Lord knows our hearts, doesn't He? He knows our thoughts. All things are naked and open before Him. I love the words over in Psalms chapter 39 where David says, he says, whither, that's not it, whither shall I go? 139, chapter 1, he says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Aren't you glad to know a God who knows you? Aren't you glad this morning to rejoice in the love of a God who knows you better than you know yourself? Thou knowest my downsittings and mine uprisings, and Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. You know, that can be a sobering thought, can't it? That the Lord knows our thoughts. He knows our hearts. He knows the doubts and the fears. He knows the unbelief that we have. He knows the things that we worry about. And He knows the lack of faith that we have sometimes in our life. That can be a sobering. He knows the sin that goes on in our hearts. But you know what's greater than that? Is that He knows our uprisings and our downsittings. Jesus knows. Aren't you, we sing that song sometimes at home. Jesus knows. Aren't you glad to know a Jesus that knows when your heart is hurting? Aren't you glad that He can be touched with the feelings of your infirmities? The Bible says that Jesus knew their hearts, and He asked them the question, why reason yourself and your hearts these things? Which is easier, in other words, which is easier, to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise up and take up thy bed and walk? Which is easier to say? You know, both of those statements aren't very hard to say. I just said them both. In fact, I've said them three times just this morning. But neither of those statements are very hard to say. Which of those are easier to say? For man, those things are easy to say. Which one of those are easiest to do? Which one of those two statements are the easiest to show that you have the power to do? I tell you what the Lord Jesus Christ is showing them in this parable is that with both of those statements, both of those statements are equally impossible with man, and both of those statements are equally very possible with God. Neither one of us can look at a crippled man and say, "Arise and take up thy bed and walk." And you know what that shows? That shows that neither one of us have the power or authority to say, "Thy sins be forgiven." We don't have that power and authority, do we? I'm just a man. I can't say, "Your sins are forgiven. Be of good cheer." But this was no ordinary man. He says, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive." So, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ referred to Himself as the Son of Man more than any other title that's given to Him. He's given the title Messiah. He's given the title Son of God. He's given the title Prince of Beelzebub. He's given a lot of titles, isn't He? But He refers to Himself as the Son of Man more than He refers to Himself as any other thing. You know why that's so important? Because without Him being the Son of Man, He wouldn't be our representation on the cross. He preached the gospel. He wanted folks to know that He was not just the Son of God, that He was verily man, verily God in the flesh. He says, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." Aren't you glad this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ has power on earth to forgive sins? Not just eternally, not just to pay the price for our sins and secure our home in heaven, but aren't you glad to know that the Lord Jesus Christ has power on earth to forgive our sins that we commit here in time on the day to day? He has that power that no other man has. "But that ye may know that I have this power." And then He turns back to the sick of the palsy and He says, "I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine own house." He gives him three things to do. Get up, you arise, you take up your bed, and you go thy way. Go thy way into thine own house. And immediately, that, by the way, that phrase reminds me of that wild Gadarean that the Lord Jesus Christ healed. And the Gadarean wanted to follow Him. And the Lord Jesus Christ forbid him. That troubled me for a long time when I was younger. Why in the world would the Lord Jesus Christ tell a man, "No, you can't follow me"? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ had another mission for that man. He says, "You go home to thy friends and you tell them what great things the Lord hath done for thee." You know, we have a mission in life. You believe that? You believe the Lord's done something great for you? I tell you, He's not only forgiven your sins, but He's given you the strength and the ability and the will to arise up and walk with Him in a Christian way. We have that not only a blessing, but we have that responsibility, do we not? To arise. Take up our bed. Get off the stool of do nothing. And walk. Go home to thy friends. Be amongst the folks that you see, those friends had seen this man for years and years and years lie on this cot. And now, I love what the last verse of this says this. He says, "And immediately he rose up and took up the bed and went forth before them all." He came through the roof on a cot, and now he's making his way through the crowd to the door. And don't you know that was a testimony for all of those folks to see what great things the Lord had done for that brother that day? He says, "Immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. That's just a King James way of, in South Georgia, we would say something like, we ain't never saw nothing like that before. We ain't never seen nothing like that happen before. But I tell you what, brothers and sisters, you have. You may not have seen it like exactly like this man, but you've seen miracles in your life, and you've seen your loved ones go through trials and tribulations and discouragements and spiritual paralysis that only one man has the power to heal. I love what in Luke's writings of this, he says this, he finishes up this story like this. It says, immediately he rose up before them and took up the bed whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. This man that was brought in on a bed by four men, he picks up that bed that brought him in and carries it out the door, glorifying God. I tell you, we all have something to glorify God about this day, for freeing us not only from sin's bondage, but from the bondage of our day-to-day life that threatens our spiritual paralysis. And when the folks saw that, it says that they were amazed. We have something to be amazed about this day too. We have a testimony to share, not only with our words. This man never said anything. We have a testimony to share with our life, with how we live, to show forth what great things the Lord has done for us, and to glorify Him for doing what we couldn't do for our own selves. Blessed be His magnificent name this morning, and may God bless you all, is my prayer.